attend to everything that's done on a regular basis here at church. If you have your Bibles this morning, open them up to 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Brother Dave is doing some studies in 1 Corinthians, and he said 1 Corinthians this morning. I said, I hope he doesn't say chapter 3. And he didn't. Of course, if he had, then that would have meant that this is the way God wanted it to be done this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Last week I talked about, you know, going on and keeping on and moving forward. And I'm back a little bit into the same mode for today. Verse 9 says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Laborers together with God. The Apostle Paul did a foundational work in the first century, taking the gospel from Antioch and ending up in Rome, covering Macedonia, Galatia, so many areas, planting churches, spreading the gospel, doing what God had called him to do, laid a foundation for a local church to grow on. After the foundation was laid, it was responsible for other men to come along and to build on that foundation and to see a work progress, to grow. And so Paul's giving some warning, but he's giving some illustration here concerning your work, your service for God. Now, what we're talking about in this particular context here, after the foundation, we're not talking about getting saved. We're talking about serving God after you are saved. You're not talking about doing something to obtain salvation. We're talking about doing something because you are saved and building upon that foundation. So he uses an illustration that anyone would have understood in that day, which the Apostle Paul frequently did. He would use the illustration of an athlete. He would use the illustration of a farmer or of a husbandman. Here he's using the illustration of a carpenter or a bricklayer, talking about building a structure. And when you build a structure, you have to dig and lay a foundation. Otherwise, it's not going to work. Jesus had already told a parable about that in the gospel accounts. You know, the parable of the building of the sand. The wise man built his house upon the sand, the rock. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. I was just checking to see if he was listening. That's all. I just want to keep you awake. And if you listen to me any length of time, you better stay awake. I'm having a hard time sitting and staying awake. Yesterday, Brother Dave sat next to me. We were at the memorial service with Brother Ralph, and we had company at home. Sharon wasn't able to go, and I was sitting there, and I knew I was having a problem. I started doing this. I said, "Heavens, I need to stay awake." And the only thing is, I just hope I didn't disturb anybody else when I started snoring. I don't think I did, but it was, as Brother Dave has already referred to in Sunday school, it was an absolutely wonderful service for a man that was so highly thought of and by the people in his church and by his neighbors and everybody else who's come in contact with. So, wonderful, wonderful time. So I want you to stay awake. If I see you dozing off, I might ring my bell or do something. I won't do that. And I won't hit the pulpit real hard, not with that hand, but my arm is killing me, so I can't hit it real hard. But I still got my left hand. I used to wear another ring on this hand, and the pulpit in Danville had all kinds of dents in the wood. So I am capable of doing that. I've already given you a warning. So either way, that mistake I just made was just to keep you awake. But Jesus taught the parable of a wise man building his house upon a... the foolish man building his house upon... because there was no foundation, the winds came, the floods came, the winds blew, the waters rose, and the one without a foundation fell. So the Apostle Paul is stating, well, once you put a foundation down, then you build upon that. And as you build, you're required to have supplies. One of the things we've noticed in the last few years is how much building supplies have increased. And wood and the other things. But not only are we talking about the supplies necessary to build a structure, but we're talking about the labor that is required to have that structure built. Those of you that have built your own homes or contracted to have your homes built, you know all about the combination of that. You know, the work, the labor, the cost. Better buy the building materials quickly, whatever you're quoted, because if you wait, you don't know what's going to happen. Guy tried to sell me tires last week. He said, I can't guarantee you that this price will be valid in another month. Prices change. I said, I know what you're doing. You're trying to sell me a set of tires today, and that's not happening. But that's what's taking place, that Paul is trying to challenge this church at Corinth about building upon the foundation that is, of course, Jesus Christ. Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And then he talks about the types of materials that will be used in verse 12. But I want to turn your attention to verse 13. Every man's work shall be manifest. The word manifest literally means to be declared. In other words, it'll be known. Says, for the day shall declare it, but watch the next phrase, because it shall be revealed by fire. Wow. What's going to happen to my labor for the cause of Christ? What's going to happen to the effort, the toil that I inserted into it? Not that that's, you know, worthy of anything, but what's going to happen to my toil? What's going to happen to the building blocks that I use once the foundation of Christ is laid? What's going to happen? Well, first of all, these works, now notice how it says in verse 13. I like to point out the clarity of the Scripture. Every man's work. You say, well, yeah, that's everybody. Yeah, that's every individual. You know, oftentimes we think about, well, that church's going to grow. What's the preacher going to do? I've been asked from time to time, you know, what are you going to do in talking to other churches? What are you going to do for the church to build? Well, I said, I'm going to get everybody involved. No, what are you going to do? Well, it's not up to one person. Now, you know, the preacher might have a mentality or a personality that may... have some type of attraction. I don't have that. And he may have some type of talent or ability, and I ain't got that either. So, what do you got, preacher? I got the Bible, so I'll just be satisfied with that. But it's not dependent upon one person. If Cornerstone Baptist Church grows, it won't be because I did something. It'll be because we all served. It's going to take every man's work. So every individual person, there's going to be an evaluation. It's going to be made manifest. You mean everybody's going to know? Yeah. Why? Because the work is going to be revealed by fire. That's what it says. This work shall be revealed by fire. Now you think about the Old Testament, you think about the term of fire, and you think about it used in the tabernacle and the temple. You think about how fire consumes sacrifices. You know, what does fire do? Well, it consumes the sacrifice, that which is offered to God. And sometimes it puts up a sweet savor because the fire can consume. But when we think about the fire in relationship to Almighty God, to the Lord Jesus Christ, I wrote down four words. Our work is revealed by fire, which speaks of the presence of God. The presence of God. You know, in the 40 years of wilderness wandering, there's a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. You say, why wasn't a pillar of fire by night? Because that wouldn't have been, by day, it wouldn't have been as easy to see. But at night, there was always that pillar of fire reminded them of the presence of God. We could say that the fire of God represents the glory of God. We could say that the fire represents the power of God. We could say that the fire represents the purity of God. The whole point is our work, every man's work, the work of the service of God, the work of building upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, that work of every individual of Steve Lamb, put your name in the blank, shall be made manifest because it's going to be revealed by fire. The fire of God is going to reveal. That means, you know, you're going to be able to hide anything. Well, I want to be a Secret Service Christian. I'm going to be a covert operator. There aren't any such things. You can't be a Secret Service undercover CIA Christian and not be successful. The fire is going to reveal that. You know, cut the light on. My brother-in-law was helping us out this weekend when he came. The rascal noticed several things that, you know, I'd had on the list and hadn't done, so he jumped on it and did it. And said, what did you do? I held the flashlight. Hold the flashlight. Yes, somebody had to. Otherwise, he would not have been able to see in the task that he was doing. Why? Because that light revealed. And the fire of God's going to illuminate, and it's going to reveal. And it's going to be made manifest. The day shall declare it. So it's going to be made known. So revealed by fire. Secondly, it's going to be refined by fire. Look at the next phrase. And the fryer shall try. And look at the next phrase. Every man's work. So in case we didn't catch it the first time, God said every man's work will be refined by fire. The word refined means tried, means put to the test, means purified. It's what you do with precious metal. You dig it out of the ground, you put it into a furnace, and it burns off the impurities and leaves that which is more precious and has greater value. The story is told of the goldsmith who has the gold under the furnace and under the fire, and the goldsmith keeps his eye on it. He's watching it constantly while it is refining by fire. And it said when the goldsmith can see his reflection in it, he knows the job is completed. But he has to monitor it, he has to watch it all the time. We talk about the fires that we have to go through, the trials by fire. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Put to the test. Can your faith be tested? A preacher said, if it cannot be tested, it probably can't be trusted. And some of us say, well, my faith's been tested enough. I think I've passed enough. God will decide that. You say, I'm not so sure about that. Then come on Wednesday night. We're talking about Job on Wednesday night. You think your tests have been bad? Well, come listen to the story of Job on Wednesday night. Sometimes I get my own little pity party and think, you know, I'm really having a rough time. Times are really bad. You know, I'm really struggling here. And then open up the book of Job and said, boy, I got it made. I don't have a problem in the world when I think about what Job endured. But the fire, well, try, put it to the test, and refine it and purify it. That's what it does. But I like what it says in the last part of verse 13. A preacher that I knew very well, and that a lot of people knew, was a assistant. Well, he's a youth pastor at a huge church, and his youth group on any given Sunday morning, anywhere from 300 to 600 teenagers in the youth group, and so this gentleman was well aware of ministries of great size. And he often would come to conferences or youth rallies or week-long meetings, and I had the opportunity, I'd go to hear him, or if I was at that youth conference or if I was at that camp meeting. And one of the things that he said, I can't remember a whole lot else, but this one stuck with me all the way through, all down through the years. Here was a man who was familiar with big ministry. But he also realized not every ministry is numerically big. And he challenged every youth leader, every pastor, every youth pastor, every youth worker. It didn't matter. He said, when we talk about the fire of God trying every man's work, he said, it never says that it'll try of what size it is. It will try it of what sort it is. And this coming from a person who had a mega, huge ministry. We would look at that ministry, and by virtue of the number, we've got 25 people in here or so. Adults and young person and younger people. Got that? And we would look at this ministry, and the teenagers numbered 500 people on a Sunday morning. That didn't include the main auditorium where everybody else was. Running over 3,000 in Sunday morning. Wow! That's a successful church. That's a good church. Why? We're calculating it by number. Somebody might say and look at a church in Florida and say, man, they're running 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. Wow. Somebody might say there's a guy out in Texas running 20-some thousand people every Sunday. Boy, that church, that must be a good church. Let me tell you something. Numbers don't indicate a good church. Now, I want more numbers. Don't ever get the idea we don't want more numbers. Spurgeon was, I think it was said, the person that criticizes numbers usually doesn't have any. But I want more numbers, but not at the sacrifice of doctrine, not at the sacrifice of the manner in which we do things, not at the sacrifice of the hymnal or the King James Bible or the traditional manner that we do things. We're not switching that. If we do switch that, I'm not going to be here, and most of you probably won't be here either. But we may have a huge crowd, but not at that cost. But God said, God didn't say He's going to try every man's work of what size it is. He's going to try every man's work of what sort it is. What kind of work is it? Is it a work that's been revealed by fire? It is a work that has been put to the test by fire. You know, every church goes through some hard times. Every church. If a church doesn't go through any hard times, they're not going to grow spiritually. Not going to happen. Yeah, but I want a perfect church. Don't you go through the door. I want a perfect church. Don't you go and join it. Why? You know the answer. Because as soon as you get in there and join it, it won't be perfect anymore. There are no perfect churches. They've got an imperfect pastor. They've got imperfect people. The only thing perfect is the Word of God and the Savior. That's the only thing that's perfect. But He's going to look at the church and He's going to evaluate the church and He's going to put the church to the test and He's going to refine the church and He's going to purify the church and He's going to burn off the rough edges and make it better, a proper sort. When the sort's right, the size will take care of itself. I thought that was a good statement. When the sort is right, the size will take care of itself. So the work is revealed by fire, and the work is refined by fire, and then the work remains. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon. And there again, it's the same. Any man's work. Every man's work's going to be put to the test, and if any man's work survive, he shall receive a reward. There will be works, service, building that remains. What kind of materials were mentioned in verse 12? Gold, silver, precious stones. We've all got intelligence here. Say amen. We all got intelligence here. The next three categories, wood, hay, stubble. We all know what happens if you put wood, hay, and stubble in the fire. Far. That's how we pronounce fire. Far. There's a big far. A lot of far trucks. Wood, hay, and stubble, when you put it in the fire, or if you apply the fire to it, it's going to burn up. But gold, silver, and precious stones, you put the fire to that, and all the fire is going to do is burn off any impurity. That's all. That's what it's going to do. You say, well, precious stones can't have impurity. Any kind of dust, any type of whatever that doesn't belong will be burned off, and you'll have pure gold, pure silver, and a pure, clean, precious stone. If any man's work abide, what's happened? It's passed the test. It stood the test of God's refining fire. That work remains. Abide. That's what abide means. It means to remain. So we have work that remains. When that's done, we have work that is rewarded. He, the individual, the person, shall receive a reward. Now, Paul's going to elaborate this in another letter to Corinth, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Well, if it's good, it's going to remain. If it's bad, it's going to be wood, hay, and stubble. It's going to be consumed. But he said every one of us is going to stand at this spot, the judgment seat, the bema seat of Christ, where the fire is going to try, it's going to reveal and try every man's work. When that work abides the fire, it's still remaining, there is a reward. Now, I don't have time to go through the typical rewards that are spoken of in the New Testament. I'll just name them. The crown of life, the crown of righteousness, the crown of glory, the crown of rejoicing, and the incorruptible crown. These are, if you were to look up in your Greek New Testament, go ahead and look that up when you get home. You all got one, don't you? Everybody's got one, right? You don't have a Greek New Testament? Well, I don't know what the Greek says. The Greek says what the King James Bible says. That's the best way to answer that question. Somebody says, I want to know what the original languages say. Pick up your King James Bible and you'll know what the original languages say. But the word crown in the Greek language is my name. The Stephanos crown. That's what it means. There is a diademos crown, however you want to pronounce it. What's a diadem? That's a king's crown. What's a Stephanos crown? That's a crown of reward. Shall receive a reward. These crowns that are mentioned, these five, these are rewards for service. They are not salvation. Salvation's a gift. not a reward. But after you're saved, you faithfully serve God and you do what you're capable of doing. You allow God to lead you. You stay faithful and serve God. And you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, which has yet to happen. It's going to happen after the rapture occurs. And you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and a fire is going to come up. And it's going to reveal. And it's going to refine. But when it's all said and done, if it remains, you're going to be rewarded. The blessed thing about that is, you're not going to have a heavenly trophy room. We all got places in our houses where we keep stuff. When you had your kids growing up, every trophy that the kids had in sports, every certificate that they earned in Bible school or student of the month, student of the year, honor roll, whatever, you kept all of that. You stuck it on the refrigerator. You put it on a thing. You ladies know what it is. And then when your kids grew up and moved out, you gave it to them or you throw it away because you just don't have no room for it. But in heaven, you're not going to have a heavenly bookcase and say, well, here's my crown. No. You're going to take the crown that will be rewarded to you at the judgment seat of Christ, and you are going to take that crown and get upon your knees before Jesus and give that crown back to Him. That's going to be a wonderful thing to be able to return to Christ what He just rewarded you because you did it for Him anyway, didn't you? If you did not do it for Him, it's wood, hay, stubble, and there's going to be no notice about it. But if it remains, there'll be a reward. Then, verse 15. This work could be removed. If any man's work shall be burned. Will it all be burned if it's put through the fire? No. The word burning means to be consumed. It means to be burnt up. So there will be work that will be removed. He shall suffer loss. It's possible for it all to be consumed. Personal perspective, and I'm just going to be very brief, but in my personal perspective, I've seen some things that have been done for God, and as I look at it, I say, and I'm not the judge, and it's a good thing, but I look at that and I say, that is worthless. Now, I could be totally wrong, and God may remove a reward for me by even saying something like that. But honestly, folks, there are some carnal ministries out there that are so far from God. I was talking to somebody the other day, and I was talking about a notable preacher. I said he wouldn't know a Bible if it hit him in the face. And yet he's very well known. You say, well, you know, you're just saying that because he's very well known and you're not. I'd care less about that. I used to think something of it. When I first went to Danville, my first church, I at one time thought, man, we could have the biggest church in Danville. Yeah, we could have the biggest church in Danville. That mean I'd be pastoring the biggest church in Danville. Never got there. It's not an objective of mine either to have the biggest church in Zephyr Hills. That's not the objective. The objective is preach the word, serve God, love God, live for God, and then let God do the building. And if He wants us to have the biggest church in Zephyr Hills, we will have the biggest church in Zephyr Hills. And if it doesn't happen, it means He's not. That's not the objective that God wants us to have. But there are some that you watch down through the years. I'm not going to do it. Wood, hay, stubble. Done for the wrong motive. Done for the wrong objective. Done for the wrong reason. I'm going to make myself look good. I'm going to make myself popular. I'm going to have notoriety across the state, across the country, around the world. Boy, They don't know who I am. Nobody cares who you are. Let's see who we make people know who Jesus is. That's what's important. But yet if I do that, you say, well, you built the biggest church in Zephyr Hills. If all I did was build the biggest church in Zephyr Hills just so that somebody could pat me on the back and every member of the church say, boy, you really did a good job. That ain't squat. It's wood, hay, stubble. And it'll be removed. And I'm going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and I'm going to have my arms folded with a great big mule eating briars grin saying, I'm really going to get something from God. And the fire's going to come on and everything that I've done is going to get burned up. And while Joe Blow over here, who hasn't got two pennies to scrape together, but who loves Jesus, was faithful to church, hand out gospel tracts, read his Bible, prayed, did everything that he could for the cause of Christ, yet never had the opportunity to be a part of my biggest church, he's going to be standing way up there in front of me and he's going to have a whole armload of crowns, of five crowns, to turn around, or four crowns, to turn around and give to Jesus, and I'm going to be sitting there with a bunch of ash in my hand. You say, what are you trying to say? If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Now, please, don't think he's going to lose his salvation. Good heavens, don't build your doctrine on a verse and ignore the rest of the Bible. Well, it says he's going to suffer loss. Yeah, he's going to lose his reward. You're not going to get any reward. So this fire that's going to reveal and refine and all of that is going to result in one or two things. Either regret or rejoicing. Regret or rejoicing. The one who thought more of him or herself than what they ought to think, and who arrogantly thought that they were doing the best thing for God that anybody could have done, there's going to be regret, remorse. But the faithful servant of God who humbly served the Lord and listen, I've heard stories, I've met men, and because I usually travel in circles of pastors' meetings and pastors' conference and missions conference and revivals where a lot of people assemble together, and I've heard a lot of stories about men out in the mountains, back out in the country somewhere, pastoring a church, and they never had more than 20, 25 people. That's all they ever had. You know, they never had 100, they never had 500, never had 1,000, but they stayed faithful. And after staying faithful all through those years, they met Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ, and Jesus said, well done, my good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. You know, just be faithful in the few things, and there will be rejoicing. But it says, he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. What did I say at the beginning? This is service, not salvation. You cannot lose your salvation, but it is possible to lose your reward. If you're here this morning and you're saved, this will happen to you. This will be a part of what's going to take place in the future. The fire is going to reveal it. And the fire is going to refine it. And then the fire will, the work will either remain, and then there'll be reward, or it'll be removed, and there'll be remorse. Either way, if you're saved, that's what's going to happen in the future. That's where you'll be. And if you're not saved, the only thing you have to worry about is spending eternity in hell, because that's the direction that you're going. This has no impartation or imputation or any association with you if you're not saved. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm not trying to crack a joke. I'm not trying to be a wise whatever. If you're not saved, you're not here. and you'll die and go to hell unnecessarily because Jesus died for you. The Jesus that we're talking about serving is the one that died for you, was buried and rose again the third day so that you can be saved, so that you can serve Him, so that one day you can stand before Him and receive a reward that you can return back to Him. That's a good thing. It just humbles me to think that I'm going to stand there and I wonder what that fire will reveal. And I wonder what that fire will remove. I'm just wondering. I'm not wondering about you because I'm not going to stand and give an account for you. Nor will you give an account for me, but I will stand and give an account for me. And you will stand and give an account for you. What will that fire reveal? What will it refine? What will it remove? That will we find out. In that case, let's do all we can. Let's just serve God. Let's just live for God. Let's just, like we said last, keep on. Let's just keep on. You say, well, we're not making much progress. What sort it is. I will say this. I'd rather have this group right here doing what we're doing than that group down 54 doing what they're doing. You say, which one are you talking about? Okay, I have to spell it out. New Walk. I'd rather have doing what we're doing here than what's going on there. But they've got so many people. What sort it is. Give me this old book. Give me this old hymnal. Give me this old crowd. And I'll take that over anything they got. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for the Word of God. And I read about the judgment seat of Christ. And I read about the fire that's going to reveal and refine and try. And Lord, I made some jokes about it and kind of light about it, but truth of the matter is, that's very serious. Lord, I'm going to stand in front of you and give an account of what I've done for you. And so shall every one of us here that's saved. Every one of us will give an account of himself or herself in your presence. And nothing's going to be hid. The fire's going to reveal it. Dear God, help us to stand before you with a clear conscience, a clean slate, and just, Lord, a life of service. We're not talking about big size. We're just talking about the right sort. And so help us to do that. I pray. If somebody here is unsaved, then Lord, challenge them because that's the most important need of the hour for them. But encourage us in our walk with you and our service for you. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. If you'll take your hymnals and turn to 3.